You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Acts chapter 24. For grace, as you take aside now from the ordinary things of life, that our heart and our mind might be brought into the eternal. Thus we look to you for grace as you cleanse us and sanctify us as people unto yourself, in order that we not only worship in spirit and truth, but we truly honor your Son this morning, that your people be built up in the most holy faith. And if there is somebody here who does not know Christ, this will be the day which the spirit of restlessness become that one until they come to rest in Christ. Thank you, Father, for attending to every detail of this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, to pull our thinking together, you recall that through these last few lessons, we've been looking at Paul being charged by his fellow countrymen with all sorts of wild charges, and how that the captain of the guard, chief captain at Jerusalem, finally, in desperation, took Paul out of Jerusalem, and with a great small army, so to speak, he ushered him to Felix the governor in the city of Caesarea. Now, from there, where we dealt with last week, 5 days have passed away, as we read in the first verse of chapter 24. If you can, as much as possible, get into the spirit of this courtroom scene this morning, because it's real interesting. If you've ever been to a court, it's better than anything they ever put in the movies or television or anything else. Truth is always stranger than fiction. And that's what we have here. We have a court hearing for Felix, curate here, of that province. Might give you a little bit of background about Felix. He was, I don't think we got anybody in this country today that can outdo him. He was a tyrant of the first water. He was the kind of guy that always had his hand under the table. Josephus has quite a bit to say about this man. He's just a first-rate scoundrel. In fact, his wife, we'll be looking at her in a few minutes, a Jewess named Drusilla. He took her away from one of the rulers of the Jews, and he made no bones about it. It was open and shut. Nobody opened their mouth about it. So because he's that kind of... He used his power however he wanted to. Now, the hierarchy of Israel, you see, has came down to Caesarea, and they brought their mouthpiece with them, Tertullus, if you notice. And it says he was a great orator. And you can see him really spreading the molasses here as he begins in verse 2. Actually, the Jews hated this man. But notice the smoothness of the tongue. Tertullus has begun to speak. Seeing that we enjoy great quietness. Let's say, you got to get into the spirit of this thing to appreciate what's said here. And that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy province. We accept it always, in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Boy, what a lie. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. Now, I want you to notice the charges they bring against Paul. They said that they found him a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Now, one thing about Felix, he was not a blind man. He understood the political arena. And he knew, as you'll see in a minute, that all this was just a farce from beginning to end. But by the same token, we would also see that his reasoning went something like this. And if all these Jews have prayed down here and took their best mouthpiece from Jerusalem to come up here to convince me, this fellow really must be important. And if he's important, he must be worth something. In fact, the matter is, on the pretense of that, Felix kept him at Caesarea for 2 years. We'll see that. But inasmuch as Paul was a Roman citizen, he also treated him with respect. You'll notice that in verse 22, or rather verse 23, Paul commanded a centurion. Now that's important. A centurion had charge of 100 men. So Paul had 100 men the whole time everywhere he went. And notice he had liberty. He didn't restrict him. He gave him the run of everything. Paul lived pretty nice for that 2 years at the expense of the Roman government, with 100 men to protect him at all times. Remember, the Jews wanted to put him to death. Paul wasn't about to allow this catch he had. Felix really thought he had something here that he was going to really score big with. He had no charges against the man except the Jews at Jerusalem. And it was all concerning Jewish law, which Felix could care less about. He didn't care about that. But you'll notice the charges that they bring against him. He'd gone about to profane the temple when we took and would have judged him according to our law. And now he passed the buck to the chief captain. Lysias came upon us with great violence, took him out of our hands. As far as the record goes, take Paul away from him. Otherwise, they were stoning him to death. They didn't have much choice. He's complaining about that. And you notice that all the Jews that went with him, verse 9, after the charges that he made against Paul, they all agreed with it. They were in a complete accord. Verse 9, the Jews sent us saying that all these things were so. Then after that, if you kind of read between the lines there, you would see that if he sees Paul sitting there and he doesn't say very much, he just takes his hand like that. He said, "Well, now speak for yourself." Verse 10. Now notice Paul would have made a wonderful attorney. Notice. I know that you've been many years a judge of this nation. And because of that, I'm not careful. He said, in effect, he said this. I know you understand what's going on here because you've been a judge against for the nation of Israel for many years. And you understand the situation. And he did. He understood what it was. He said, "I want you to know I understand that." Now he said, "I want you to understand my position. Fact of the matter," he said, "it's only 12 days ago that I came up to Jerusalem to worship. If you have any charges against me, what I'm being brought here for, it should be in the context of what happened in those 12 days. But they have charged me with being a seducer, a worldwide seducer among the Jews," which Felix could care less about. Paul knew that. He's getting down to what the real issue is. 12 days ago, he said, "I came up to worship, that's all. Not only did I come up to worship, but I brought arms and I brought gifts, offerings from the Gentiles for these poor Jews here in Jerusalem." And he said in verse 12, "I was in the temple, all right, but they didn't find me disputing with any man. In fact, I was there under a vow, to perform a vow. I agreed to this. You understand, this may sound like something trivial, but most people don't realize. And because of this, there's much error in Christian thinking today. In the book of Acts, God was dealing with Israel nationally. And Paul was a Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He never quit living a Jew. He was in the temple at this time, making an offering, purified with other Jews, and paying for their right to be there. Why don't we do that today? You see, you've got to ask yourself these questions. God is not dealing with us today in the same way that he dealt with the Jews for 33 years this side of Calvary. Because he's not dealing with Israel nationally today. He's dealing with the nations. And the Apostle Paul's special ministry, which did not come into view in all of its force until after the close of the book of Acts, had nothing to do with those promises made to Israel. It's a brand new revelation. It's a new beginning that was worked out in the counsels of God from before the foundation of the world. All of the things that dealt with in the book of Acts have to do in the context of things since or from the foundation of the world. They have to do with the revealed plan of God. Paul's ministry after the book of Acts has to do with the hidden purpose of God. And Christendom today ignores that as if it didn't exist. And you see the setting here. Paul, notice his defense. This I confess, verse 14, that after the way in which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written, notice, in the law and in the prophets. There's nothing new about that. Same ministry. And herein do I exercise myself, to have a good, always a conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. After many years I came to bring alms to my nation offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. In other words, he said, Felix, in essence, what he said, the charge is all so ridiculous that the people who created this problem were from Asia and there's none of them here. Everybody here that's down here is bringing a charge of hearsay. There's nobody in this courtroom that was even there except me. Those who created this situation from Asia aren't even here. Let's say he'd have made a wonderful attorney. He took care of it right real quick. And he said, they ought to have been here to object if they had against me. Or else let these, that is the ones that are here, say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Now you remember when he stood before the council a couple of weeks ago. That was a situation that everybody, you know, when they're young, they have great hopes, aspirations. Paul, 30 years from the time he was converted, had come back to Jerusalem. And he was brought before the council to answer for the upheaval in the temple. He knew all these people, not all of them, but a lot of them on the council had been there when he was. He was a fairly young man. As he observed the council, he noticed that half of them were Pharisees and half of them were Sadducees. And he saw the fruitlessness of trying to argue with them. So immediately he brought up the resurrection. When you get two theological groups argument, that ends the case right there. Because the Pharisees insist upon the resurrection. The Sadducees don't believe in a resurrection. He divided that counsel right down the middle. Now, he said, if there's any charge against me, the only charge it could have of me causing any trouble. Notice, this is rather amusing if you read between the lines. Verse 20, these here, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question of you this day. Now he said, the only charge that this bunch really has against me, this is the council that they are on the charge of. The only charge they really have is the one that I brought before them when I declared the resurrection. If they have a charge, that's the only charge they really have, a valid charge. And you notice Felix, he heard enough. When he heard these things, he had more perfect knowledge of that way. He wasn't ignorant. Why? He was married to a Jew. He knew what was going on. He deferred them. I can see the wheels turning in his head. Boy, howdy, I've got a big fish here. What I'm going to wind up with this, nobody has any idea. So he just deferred the case. He said, well, I'll send for the captain. He'll come down here. We'll discuss it a little further. You see, he could turn him loose right there. But you see why he didn't in verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. What did he want to turn him loose? Money. He didn't care anything about the justice of the law. He wasn't interested in that at all. And he certainly wasn't interested in what this bunch Jerusalem had to say. Because he had a more perfect understanding of the way. He was married to a Jew himself. He knew. I can see that pompous body. Well, Felix not caring anything about it. In fact, he really kind of rubbed salt in the wound when he assigned 100 soldiers to protect Paul and give him liberty of the city. God's beginning to take care of Paul now and protect him all the way. From now on, he'll never be threatened by the Jews again. He's going to come under the protection of the Roman government. He's going first class. Remember we saw how that Paul's despondency, how God met him at night. Be of good cheer when he was sold down in the dumps. Thou hast borne testimony. It didn't matter whether successful or not, you were faithful. That's what counted. And thou must bear testimony in Rome. Paul's beginning now to move toward Rome. And he's moving at the expense of the Roman government. But well protected all the way, having liberty. Now notice, so that it won't look too much like a pretense, Felix brings his wife. He said that. I can see it. They've talked this over in their bedroom. They said, look, Drusilla, this fella, I don't know who he is really personally, but I know enough, I've heard enough, and if that crowd up at Jerusalem is going to all this trouble for that one man, we really got a big fish here. I want you to come here. So they bring Paul before Drusilla. Certain days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Notice Paul reasoned with him. Three things: righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Well, when you understand the kind of a character that Felix was, he didn't have a leg to stand on. Because he never did a right thing in his life, hardly. And he certainly was not a temperate man. He wouldn't have deferred the case in the first place. He dismissed it right there. And of the judgment to come, man, all his guards were down. He didn't have any protection. And he knew it. And notice his reaction. He trembled. Actually, the Greek says it's even stronger. If we'd paraphrase it in a good American, he scared the daylights out of him. That's exactly what it would have been put in a good American language. But again, you see, he's not a temperate man. He says, go thy way for this time, and I have a convenient season, I'll call for you again. And through that next 2 years, you see that over and over again, he brought Paul before him, not so much just to learn about Christ, but just to commune with him. Here was a man that understood Felix, and Felix understood Paul. That's what you see. Notice, he did hope to get some financial gain out of it, but you notice he hoped that should have been given that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. I can hear him saying, "Look, Paul, I can turn you loose. Certainly, a man of your importance must have some backing somewhere. Why don't we get this out of the case, and I'll turn you loose, and you can go your way." For 2 years, this went on. Now, in the meantime, we learned this from Josephus. The Jews haven't been setting aside either. They've been in touch with Rome, and they brought charges against Felix. That Felix is holding a man that's down there raising a sedition against Rome and representing a man who was crucified 30 years ago because he was claiming himself to be a king. And Paul is his earthly representative. Can you imagine the effect that had on Rome? So they sent a new ruler down there named Festus. Notice verse 27. 2 years before Festus came to Felix. Now in the meantime, Felix had heard about what happened, and so at this meeting, introduce him, he puts handcuffs on him, puts him in bonds. See, he's preparing, he knows he's going to face the courts in Rome. One thing about Rome, they were ruled by law. They had these rascals all over their provinces, but they still went by the law. And here they'd had a Roman citizen for 2 years under a false pretense to begin with. And here these Jews, in the meantime, they'd had 2 years to work their little plans too. We don't learn this from Scripture, except you can sense it in the reading of the penal line. But Josephus outlines this real plain for them. He lived right through it all. He was right there. He knew the whole ballgame. He writes about this whole trial. It's very interesting. Now, Festus, we'll learn something about him next week. He only lived 2 years. He died. But he didn't know anything about the Jews down. But he had worked himself. Festus was a man who came up the hard way. He was not a man that played both ends against the middle, like Felix. That's why Rome sent him down there, because they realized that this was a man that they could trust. But 2 years of that awful bickering down there killed a man. He died. But next week we'll pick up there where Festus picks up the reins of judging this case. And Felix is sent to Rome to stand the charges against him by the Jews. Father, we do thank you again for the word and this trip that we're taking with the Holy Spirit as he unveils to us the events of the early workings of things this side of Calvary. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to use us in our life to see that you do all things well, that you do not hurry to get things done, that you do things the long way and the right way. We thank you, Father, that in every circumstance that you more than meet the need and the care of your own. Certainly exemplified in this story today. Take for us as you help us and encourage us in this. Keep these thoughts in our minds as we pick up the story again next week. Your blessing for efforts in this manner this morning, Father, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.